Shalom everyone and Shavua Tov. We are here in Parashat Pinchas. Parashat Pinchas is an amazing parasha according to Kabbalah. If you read just the original text, either in Hebrew or other languages, it's not so exciting. However, we have, according to Kabbalah, whoever knows Kabbalah knows that Parashat Pinchas is the parasha concerning any kind of healing. If you go to the book itself, which means the Zohar of Parashat Pinchas, it's a whole volume of almost 400 pages, just about Parashat Pinchas, which is, and big part of it is covering the issues of healing. Okay, now what is the connection between the story of this parasha and healing? Now we have to understand that first of all, Parashat Pinchas always comes in the middle of the month of Tammuz. And whoever listened to the study about the month of Tammuz and the sign of Cancer knows that the month of Tammuz is known by Kabbalists as a month that is full of judgments. Which means this is a month that we are very susceptible to any kind of emotional instabilities. So it's, and we know this is the month of Cancer, that is ruled by the moon, and we know that in many languages, emotional instability is being described using the word moon. For instance, in English, lunatic, okay? Or you have it in Hebrew, cholei sahauri, okay? It's like, it's a lot, in many, many languages, there's a connection between the effect of the moon and spiritual or mental instability. And we know, again, you know, if you study Kabbalah and you study spirituality, you know for sure that there is a direct connection between emotional instability and sickness and any kind of disease. Why? Because that's how it works. And whoever learns spiritual healing, especially Kabbalistic healing, knows there are three layers to every disease. The first layer, which is the spiritual layer, it shows about, first of all, dysfunctional behavior of a person that is based on emotional instability. And that is also called, in the Kabbalistic language, tikkun, a correction, which means we are not here to be perfect. We're here to perfect. Whoever studies Kabbalah, have to understand it. No human, living human is perfect and not supposed to be perfect. Okay, if you're perfect, let's say if you think you're perfect, you're in a very big danger. Go to your friends, they'll tell you your imperfections if you just listen to them. Okay, but if you're perfect, it means that you're supposed to die already because you finished your job. You know, our job is to take unperfected states of existence and perfect them. Okay, so the moment we are realizing that the emotional, spiritual imbalance is basically a journey, it is a tikkun, it is a correction, it is a job to do, it is a vessel that is empty and is waiting for us to fill it up, now we're not, we shouldn't be so upset about finding that we have some correction, which means something that is not working, something that is wrong. But if we do not correct those imperfections or these imbalances within us, that will finally develop into a physical imbalance. Fatigue, all kinds of aches and pains and stuff that you feel that you are dysfunctional and you have a problem with, but you go to the regular doctor and he will do all the tests and you say, you're healthy as an ox. Usually medical science of today are not well equipped to find out that aspect of this ease. The ones who are more equipped for that at what we call today alternative medicine. Like, you know, acupuncture or chiropractic, you know, all of these people that are treating the person It is all about those kind of people in alternative medicine that treat the person and they have a better ability to find weakness. So even they, when they treat a person that is imbalanced, they can really bring into balance a lot of them, but that will be temporary only for maybe few days, few weeks, and so on and so forth. Why? Because as long as our negativity inside hasn't been corrected yet, which means our calling hasn't been answered yet, we didn't really step up to the plate doing that, we're still going to go back to the same places of ache and discomfort. When this is not being taken care of for a long time, that will finally evolve into a medical pathological problem that the doctors can find out in blood tests and any kind of test similar to that. Okay, now, Parashat Pinchas is about healing. How is Parashat Pinchas about really creating the healing? So, Parashat Pinchas and Parashat Balak, which is the parasha of the previous month, both are in a way parallel because both speak about same two topics. One topic is in the previous parasha, we'll see it's also in Pinchas, it's about idol worshiping. And what is idol worshiping? Idol worshiping is it's a general disease. As it's a mental disease. What does it mean idol worshiping? Yeah, but what if I'm not praying to a statue? What if I'm not sacrificing human sacrifices? Or what if I'm not sacrificing a chicken to the god of the volcano? I'm a modern human being. Yeah, but we all know that human beings have a very strong tendency to develop addictions. And addictions, according to, ancient sages, you can find it in the Talmud, you can find it in the Zohar. It is the moment we have an addiction, we are on the stage of idol worshiping. Why? Because if I find myself, or when I find myself, in a situation in which I need a material, a person, an object, an asset, or any kind of external physical reality issue, usually it can be bought by money or something like this, in order for having my own inner peace and well-being, I am in a state of relationship of idol worshiping with the subject of my addiction. Which means, it is said on Mount Sinai, very, very, very clearly, I am the Lord your God, that was the first one on the two tablets, that took you out from Egypt, the house of slavery. Which means, can you commit that you're never going to be a slave to anything but the creator of the universe? Okay, the moment that my well-being is enslaved to recognition by another person, to a cigarette, food, a travel to a certain place, we convince ourselves, my life is not the same if I'm not going to have this and this and this. That's slavery. The moment you're enslaved to one of these corporeal, physical, mundane realities, you are an idol worshiper. And how do you know? The second one, the second of the 10 on the two tablets says, thou shalt not have another God but me. We cannot allow anything to control us but the light itself, the light of the Creator himself. So the moment I'm addicted, and you know what? Not all of this is really, we call it addiction, but it is addiction. We're being trained, we live in a society that trains us to be addicted because, the economy, till the breaking of this coronavirus pandemic disaster, and it is a disaster because Whatever we know about society and about economy, world economy, is not going to be the same anymore. Why? Because what happened till the beginning, the breaking of that disaster, we were developing very, very fast more and more addictions to, you name it. Each one of us knows exactly. We can't, if I don't go to this trip, if I'm not buying that brand or whatever, I will never have a peace of mind. And this is impossible. This is impossible. We cannot have our inner happiness dependent on objects, people, whatever, because that is an addiction. This is idol worshiping. And how do you describe this idol worshiping? Desire to receive for the self alone. It's the rush for instant and temporary relief. Okay? Even by saying, let's destroy the villains and by this we will free ourselves. People that always are into a drive of hatred, revenge, and negativity, this is an addiction of itself. And this is idol worshiping, the worst of its kind. Because what all the Kabbalists are saying, when a person is in a rage, anger, there's nothing worse than that, because every kind of addiction can hurt a part of a person's soul. But rage and anger, this hurts all the parts of the soul altogether. And there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for that. So when we live in a culture that basically respects, adores, and worships the desires and the needs, the temporary desires and the needs of a human being, the result, says the Zohar, will be a plague. And that's exactly how Parashat Balak is finished. That's the last week's parasha. And what is Parashat Balak about? Free love. We feel like having sex. We feel like getting high with drugs and stuff like this. And why should anybody tell us what's right and what's wrong? Let's do whatever we feel like. The result is a plague. What does a plague do? The plague closes, locks you home. Brings you to a lockdown. Why lockdown? Because it was too crazy and too wild, with no any kind of breaks and no discipline. And what's the result? Have you ever seen kids when they just do whatever they feel like? They go crazy. They go crazy. They need the discipline. They need the time limits. You know, when they get up in the morning, they don't like it. But when a child knows exactly when he gets up in the morning, what in the routine, and exactly when they take a nap and when they eat and playtime, everything is organized, they're happy. The moment there's no routine, they go crazy. In the beginning, it's crazy happy, then it's crazy bad. And when we are humans and we try to imitate the behavior of children when we are grown up, the result will be a plague. Okay? So, Pinchas, at the end of last week's parasha, he stops the plague. Why? Let's read the story. In Parashat Pinchas itself, which is in the book of Numbers, chapter 25, verse 10. And then it says, and God spoke to Moses, saying, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas, Heshiv et chamati me'al bnei Yisrael. He removed my wrath. That's, I think, the usual translation, although chamati in Hebrew comes from the word heat. And heat is judgment. So he removed my judgment from above the children of Israel, bekano et kinati, when he brought my zeal in within them. And I did not extinguish the children of Israel with my zeal. Now the question is, what does it mean, zeal? Now, the story is like this. What the sages are teaching us, that when the Israelites were just doing, there was a big party, like a Woodstock huge party of free love and free drugs, and everything was like free, and the plague started and 24,000 people died already. And it was going like a fire, a bushfire. And now nobody could stop it. And then comes one of the heads of the tribe of Shimon. And we know Shimon symbolizes judgment from the place of the place of the heat of the desires. And he comes with the daughter of the king of Midian, one of them, Cozbi Batsur. And he says to Moses, like, why can't we just do whatever we want? Everybody's equal. We should love everybody. We should, you should be patient to everybody needs it. If I want it, why should I have it? And Moses and the rest of the leaders of the nations are standing there crying because they're horrified and they don't know how to stop it. The only one who knew what to do was Pinchas. And what he did, I explained it last week, but I explained it again, he knew out of the learning. He was the only one who remembered. The only way to stop the plague is to reawaken the judgment of boundaries. I won't go into the details, but what he did, some, like in Chinese medicine, you go to some physicians, Chinese, and they make you look like a porcupine, with just stick needles all over you from all of the points. And there are some of them, they really get to know what's your problem, and one needle, and the whole stuff collapses, and you're out of it. One needle. That's exactly what Pinchas did. He stuck one needle in the one real place, and the plague stopped. But it's not was just the place, it was the intention. Pinchas, to counteract the no discipline, which is, as we said, when everybody is into, like, take whatever we can, it's a free buffet, and just grab whatever you can because we feel like doing it. The description is called judgments of a male judgment. Why male? Because the creator is the male, and we, the creation, we are the female. The creator is the giver, we are the recipient of energy. Without the creator's light, we cannot exist even one split second. Because that light that is flowing into every atom, every particle in the universe, that's what allows the universe, like a 3D projection. Everything is being sealed with that light endlessly, every second, 24/7. Okay? The question is, what do we do with that light? If we take that light directly, over exposure for the light can create burns. That's called the male judgment. What is male? The giving is not being stopped. And everything, and finally there's going to be a stop because the vessel cannot contain all of it and the vessel is going to overflow and short circuit. And that's called a plague. What was the result of the plague? Lockdown. Guys, go home to your room and cool it. Okay? And if you didn't cool it yet and you want it to come back, there's a second wave and there will be a third wave. Somehow, this game cannot go on, which means you want to heal, you need to change the state of mind. Pinchas, he did create the healing, but he did it with a zeal of love. Now, Pinchas was not supposed to be a Kohen or the priest, but he acquired that priesthood while doing what he did. Because when he did it, the Zohar says, and some other commentators, he died. He knew he's sacrificing himself. He knew that killing the one of the heads of the tribe of Shimon, they are going to kill him. So he took off, he killed him and he took off. He gave up his life. He was not supposed to. But he knew he's the only one who sees that he has to do it. You know, sometimes you pick the moment, you know, nobody will do it, I have to do it. By that, he died. He had a clinical death. As Zohar says, his soul left him. But then, the two greatest souls that ever walked on earth, Nadav and Avihu, his two uncles that died 38 years earlier, joined his soul and came back to his body, resurrected him with a new life. And here, he created a zil, which is, it's not just chesed, it's not just giving. It was a giving with unconditional love, with self-sacrifice, but at the same time, there was tough love into that tough. There was kind of a judgment within that love. You know, when you love your child, you have to know to say no. But if you say it with love, this is the biggest way to educate your child and to heal them. Because giving your children hope while saying, you know, it's going to be okay, we can't have it right now, but you're going to have whatever you need when it's time. Saying enough to another, and especially to yourself, while at the same time having a conviction that I will get what I need with total certainty, this is a mixture of chesed, loving kindness, and gvura, din, judgment, in one. That is the power that creates healing. The reading of Parashat Pinchas in the Zohar for this week, and the whole year round, but especially this week, has this quality of achieving healing. Let's go back to the source of disease. The source of disease, as we said, is a mental imbalance. What is mental imbalance? I want. What is depression? I want. I didn't get it. Why didn't you get it? You did get it. And you lost it because of judgment. You wanted it all. You wanted it all for yourself. You had no discipline. You had no desire to really share, because if you want to feel good, you have to make others to feel good also. You have to mix the love and the kindness with the judgment towards yourself and towards others. You want it to be good, make sure you do good for others. But doing good for others is judgment. Why is it judgment? It is judgment because when I'm concentrating on doing good for others, I'm eliminating or minimizing the good I feel for myself. Let's say when I eat this amazing food, the food is so good that I never tasted in my life before. I'm so enjoying it. And somebody says, what are you eating? Can you share with me? You know, it's annoying. I want to enjoy it for yourself. But that's the way to save yourself from the judgments. Saying, oh, yes, yes, here, take some. There's a judgment because you feel like there's a kind of sour feeling. I have less to eat. And there's a kind of sour feeling. You know, they disturb me. I want to like focus on it by myself. That is also a judgment. But that judgment is creating what is called mercy. Mercy is the central column. Mercy is the ability to have that power that is called overpowering chesed. That central column. It's not just loving kindness, because that can be destructive. If you just give, you get drained. It's not just, no, 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 you shouldn't. It's also destructive. It is putting the limitation and enjoying it with discipline, with a bigger picture, with, it's not just me, it's all of us. It's not just me, there are also values. That when I enjoy, it has to fit the universal values of this world. When we do that, that's called spiritual correction. When you do that properly, then the emotional and soul imbalance is being resolved. When that is being resolved, especially when it's done with jealousy for others, for life, for excitement about life. Why? Because usually most people that you meet, the older they get, the more hurt they have. Why? I tried and it failed. I tried and it failed. And what Rabbi Ashlag is saying, what is aging? Giving up. Giving up. You just gave up. You don't believe anymore that it's going to be better. You just gave up on hope. Why? The fact that you didn't do it right, it doesn't mean it's going to be just down, going down the hill. But the moment you do it right finally, you remove aging, which is a disease also. Because the moment you realize, wow, I did it wrong, but now I know how to do it right. So you get excited about life. Look through all the documentation of people that went through like a remission from all kinds of terminal diseases by pathological, conventional medicine. And then they got into like remission and they are healthy. All of them went through a stage of zeal, which means getting re-excited about life. That kind of energy is not a consuming fire. This is the kind of the fire of the burning bush. That's the secret of the tree of life. Moses is seeing the burning bush. What's the symbol of the burning bush? The bush is burning. There's a fire. But it's not consuming. It's a fire that does not destroy you. It's a fire of excitement, love, hope, positivity, like anticipating great things in the future. Why? Because finally you understand the system. Who awakened that power? Pinchas. It's a fire that on one hand, it's unconditional love, and on the other hand, it's knowing your limitation, knowing where you put this needle to put the stop of, yes, I want it and I want it all, and the only way to get it is sharing it. And sharing it's not comfortable, but victory is not comfortable. If you try to create a world in which everybody gets the first prize without trying, without effort, without competition, you create a world of misery. Because that's a world of depression, because depression means deep pressure. You got it and you lost it because of the judgments. This is a month full of judgments. The healing is that judgment that Pinchas created. It's a new style of priesthood. It's a love that has, in the same time, endless loving and sharing, and at the same time, the little judgment. That's the binding, the story of the binding of Isaac. Where it says, the whole story says, and God elevated Abraham, wrongly translated, tested. The Zohar says, no, it's not tested. Nisa comes from Lanus, up and above, to elevate, up and above. How? When Abraham thought that it all have to be just unconditional love. You just don't judge me. Just everybody is okay. Everybody is great. Accept me the way I am. No. Take the knife and put an end to the judgment. Say no with love. That is a third force, the central column, mercy. That's a healing force. This is the force that changes all of reality. And when a person is reawakening his excitement about life, but not from naivete as a kid, but as a grown-up who mastered the rules of life, this kind of excitement is healing. It's the excitement that on one hand, you believe in the unconditional, infinite love of the Creator to you, to everyone, including yourself. And at the same time, you know that there is a limit that you have to put it. This is a limit you put on addictions, on false excitement, all of that thing that says You know, why can't we have it the way we want it? Why? We have to see, first of all, it fits the rules of the universe. And he can't read the parasha without covering. So that's the power of Pinchas. And that's why Pinchas, because he made his ego so little, then if you read in the Torah, inside the word Pinchas, just in verse 11, the second verse in this parasha, you have a small, tiny yud. Shows about how he minimized himself, his ego, in order to allow the light of God to come in. To minimize that, you have to be judgmental about yourself. Not in a negative way, but in a positive way. Saying, you know, giving place for something bigger to come in. You have also, and that's why it says, that's why the zealousy that we spoke about, it's not a zealousy of hatred that we see all around the world for millennia already. Destroying people's lives. I'm talking about the zealousy for a better life. Zealousy that is excitement, a flame of love within knowing the boundaries, what's right and what's wrong. And then it says in verse 12, therefore I'm giving him my covenant shalom. Shalom in Hebrew means a whole. When a person becomes a whole, then all mentally, then every tissue, every organ will just support the other organs. We know today that most of the diseases are a problem of the immune system. And we know also the first part of a physiology that is being affected by being angry and upset is our immune system. What is being affected the first by stress? The immune system. So when we are stressed out of achieving more money and will never be fulfilled, more objects and more accessories will never fulfill, it's high and by and high and by, you are basically destroying your immune system. And let's go back. What's the biggest problem of the coronavirus? The immune system. When the coronavirus does not kill people. It's the overreaction of the tired immune system of the person because he's so stressed out for so long. And when that immune system goes crazy with the presence of the virus, that's what kills people. So all the remedies dealing with most of the remedies that are dealing with the virus are basically remedies that are there to limit the immune system, not to kill the person. But that's a minority. Most people are not being killed by the virus because, you know, in this stage, you have to be stressed out, but not as much, okay, that it will kill you. So we have to realize the healing starts always within. The reaction of the immune system is a result of our stress. And the stress is a result of giving up, of not being able to overpower chesed, love, goodwilling towards ourselves and other people. At the same time, knowing our limitation. So that shalom means that everything cooperates within the person and in society. The tissues and the organs and different people in the family structure and the community structure and all over. That is the healing. The next thing that is being spoken about is about taking revenge from the Midianites. And the question is like, what the heck? Like, why do we need to take a revenge? Okay, let's leave them alone and let's do it. But Midian, the word Midian comes from the word din, judgment. And it speaks about five kings of Midian. Five kings? That's a totally dysfunctional kingdom with five kings. No, but it's not talking about it. The word Midian comes from the word judgment, din. The five judgments we have to overcome in order to achieve healing for ourselves and to society. This is the symbol of those five judgments. And that's also the story of the five daughters of Tzlofchad. Tzlofchad, which is a very weird name in Hebrew. Nobody goes around with this name. Tzlofchad means the shadow of fear. Who gives his son this kind of a name? But those five daughters symbolize the five judgments. Again, so the whole parasha is about overpowering the judgment with love and certainty. And the result will be, and that's something that we have to read every year during the week of Pinchas, and that's a story of Rabbi Shimon and his friends that go around, and then comes an eagle. It's a big eagle. Aschar lo Yeshayahu, it circles around their heads above the Kaimalah, and then it stands. You know, when eagles just ride over the current, the air, and it looks like they're stuck in one point in the sky. Amar Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Pinchas said, "Vaday idan reuta uhashta." It must be a time of good willing. Good willing means when a desire is being healed, and now we receive what the Creator wanted to share with us, not what we insist to receive, what really fulfills us. Bashata, on that time, itpatchu tarid rachamein. This is the time that the gates of mercy open up. What does it mean? Lechol inun beimare, to whoever is on his on their deathbed. Vehuzimna lasvatalon. This is the time to heal them. Vafalgav dinun asirin demalka, although they are the prisoners of the king. You understand what Azor is saying? When somebody is committing felonies, the way we be sent for prison is getting sick, because then you're bedridden. You can't go around. You are the king's prisoner. So healing those, and the Zohar said, how do you heal that person? When the person heals the judgments they created on their own. How? When you awaken that judgment and you heal it into a judgment not of anger or hatred or negativity, but of excitement, of life and positivity and love. That's when the right column overpowering the left column. And as we go back to Parashat Chukat, remember we spoke about the ox and the cow. And he said that symbol is coming from the first chapter in the book of Ezekiel, the chariot of Ezekiel. To the right, a lion, chesed, loving sharing. To the left, this is the judgment, the ox, okay? And to the middle, central column, that's the eagle. What is the eagle? When the loving kindness overpowered the judgment. Not overpowering by removing, overpowering by taking it within and correcting it. We're here in this world to receive, to enjoy God's bliss and pleasure. But it has to be in a balanced way. That's called mercy. That's a symbol of the eagle. This is the judgment that is, you know, it should be love, not like this. And that's what spiritual self-control is about. So wishing all the sick to be healed and all the healthy ones to stay healthy, so we can overpower negativity and create a better life. Thank you, everyone.